Hey, cassettes, and welcome back to the BCD.
Hey! Woo!
That's the Black Case Diaries.
That's us.
Yes. We're three old friends learning everything we can about movies and TV and hopefully teaching you in the process. I'm Adam.
I'm Marcy.
I'm Robin.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
We back.
As we continue onward into Animation April, we thought it would be fun to do another prompt episode. When was the last time we did one of those?
It's been a while.
It has been a while.
I think it was the non-Christmas movie.
That episode. Would be it, yes. This week, we were prompted to each come up with an underrated animated TV show or cartoon that we love.
Yeah, the prompt was pretty simple. It was the same thing as our other Hidden Gem episode, animated hidden gems, but a TV show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Animation has been around for a very long time, with its earliest forms appearing in cave paintings. But ever since animation appeared as we know it today, the medium has had a tough time getting the general public to take it seriously. Even in the early days of Mickey Mouse, audiences just thought of animation as a silly gimmick that played before the real movie began.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Although many filmmakers and artists have attempted to change the public's perception that animation is a subgenre of children's entertainment, the painstaking work of animators is often dismissed as just a silly cartoon.
Oh. Yeah.
I hate it so much. It's a medium, mm-hmm. not a genre.
Yes.
Yes.
Today, we are going to talk about three of those cartoons. These are animated series that we believe deserve more exposure. So without further ado, here are our choices for underrated animated shows.
Yeah!
The Hidden Gems.
Yes!
Yes!
Three Hidden Gems. There's millions, and we just picked
so
three.
So many.
There are a lot. There were a few that I was like, oh man, I would love to talk about all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to just gotta pick one.
Before we get started talking about these animated gems, let's talk about the origin of the word cartoon. The English word cartoon dates back to the 1670s and referred to the paper that artists would use to sketch their drawings. It derived from the Italian word cartone, which held the same meaning, referring to heavy paper or pasteboard. According to Jess Safaris at uselessetymology.com, the term was applied to one-panel caricatures in political drawings by the 1840s.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was that far back.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
It's very, very old. As we discussed in our History of Animation episode a few years ago, the first animated films began to take shape in the early 1900s, with J. Stuart Blackton's Humorous Phases of Funny Faces in 1906 and Emil Kohl's Phantasmagoria in 1908. At this time, the word cartoon still had not applied to animation. Around 1916, shortly after the work of Winsor McCay blew audiences away with his creation of character animation, the term cartoon was applied to animation. McCay was worried about the direction in which animation was headed. He saw his work as an art form, but with the so-called cartoon boom of the 1910s and 20s, the novelty of moving illustrations wore off.
Incorrect. They're still wonderful.
If you want to hear more about animation history, the rest of the story, well, whatever we could fit into a one-hour episode, can be found in our Historical Case of Animation episode. But for now, we're jumping ahead about 70 years to talk about the cartoons of our time.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. So, yeah, Winsor McCay was the one that created the Gurry the Dinosaur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was a cartoonist that he's pretty much credited with creating character animation. And he was really upset at the way animation was going. I mean, for the 1910s and 20s, people were churning out animation.
Man.
Yeah. Like crazy.
Oof.
And it all looked the same.
Yep.
And it was just characters doing silly dances. People got super sick of it and they didn't like it. And they really wrote it off. And it has been 100 years.
Wow.
And animation is still trying to earn back its reputation as an art form.
Damn it.
Man, you do one wrong thing.
I know.
No, you do a million wrong things. All right. I'm going first. So I will bring up my cartoon that I chose.
Right.
Which is
what do we
one
got?
Of my low-key favorites that nobody else seems to care about except for me. Right. Chowder.
Chowder.
Oh, I love it so much.
Do you just eat it up?
Yes. I'll say yes. It's so good. I find it so funny.
Listen, Chowder, late night snacking is very dangerous. It can ruin your appetite and blah, 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 blah. You are not listening to me, are you?
Yes, I am.
What did I just say?
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, this is a show that I had never heard of. Mm. Adam told me about this show.
Ugh. Yeah, same. Yeah, I mean, I heard about it just this year, I think, or yeah. Just this past year.
Yeah.
Very recently. No idea existed. Wild.
And as we'll get into it, it wasn't very long-lived. Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't live up to the huge Nickelodeon or Disney stuff. Like, you know, Cartoon Network had a hard time for a while.
Yeah.
You know, with Adventure Time kind of taking the spotlight away from a lot of other stuff, which is fine. I understand that they, you know, you have a hit show. You definitely want that to be your thing.
Yeah.
All right. So many of you may have not seen this show, so I'll give you a little summary of it right here.
Okay.
Chowder follows the titular main character and his day-to-day adventures as an apprentice at Chef Meng Dal's catering company. Although he means well and loves everything about food, Chowder often finds himself in predicaments due to his overwhelming appetite and his scatterbrain tendencies. Chowder's goal is to become a master chef, and with the help of his mentor, Meng Dal, as well as Truffles, Schnitzel, and others, it's time to do some cooking.
Aww.
Food puns as far as the eye can see. So no shortage. As we do with these prompt episodes, they're kind of like miniaturized versions of full episodes for three different things. So do a little bit of making of next.
All right.
Chowder is the passion project created by C.H. Greenblatt for Cartoon Network that ran from 2007 to 2010 with three seasons and a total of 49 episodes. So it didn't last too long, like I mentioned before.
Not long at all.
Before creating Chowder, Greenblatt gained experience in the animation industry working on various shows. Notably, he worked on SpongeBob SquarePants as a storyboard artist, writer, and director. He also contributed to The Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy, getting his foot in the door at Cartoon Network.
That was a cool show, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Greenblatt drew inspiration for Chowder from his own experiences and interests. He has stated in interviews that he has a passion for cooking and food, which served as the primary influence for the show. Greenblatt's fascination with the culinary world is reflected in the show's focus on cooking and the vibrant food-themed universe. As I mentioned, everything is food.
That's awesome.
In addition to his love of food, Greenblatt has also mentioned that he was inspired by classic cartoons and comic strips, as well as his own childhood imagination. In his childhood, he garnered a knack for surreal and offbeat humor. Today, his comedic sensibilities can be seen throughout Chowder and his other shows, creating whimsical characters, absurd situations, clever wordplay, and many fourth wall breaks has become a staple of his writing. Real quick, I want to mention a couple of fourth wall breaks that I love dearly and mention because they're the best I've ever seen. There is one where Chowder takes a pencil and draws on the screen. Okay.
That's awesome.
And he's like, oh no. And then the character he's talking to says, don't do that. And it's like, oh, okay, I'll scribble it out. It's like,
oh no.
Bring it to me. I'll take care of it. The camera zooms way out. And he goes, no. Come back, because the drawing is still there in the corner of your TV. Brings it close, and then he like sprays it with a water bottle or whatever, and rubs it, and it goes away.
Oh.
And then Chowder goes, what about that one? And he points to the Cartoon Network logo in the opposite corner. And then the character who we'll get to like kind of taps on it. It's like, no, that one doesn't come off. That's one of my favorite ever.
That is so cute.
And then the other one is there is an episode where they just become super frivolous with spending. They buy everything. They just get real fancy. They just buy, and they run out of money.
Mm.
Power goes off. We can't pay for this, can't pay for that. And then they run out of budget for animation, too. And so this scene where the animation goes away is the four main character voice actors sitting in a room talking on mics. And they're like, what are we going to do? We can't afford the animation anymore. But they're still in character.
Yeah.
It's
That's amazing.
It's awesome. So good.
That's so smart.
Now I got to watch that one.
Yes, it's so good. If I'll send the clip and then maybe we can put it in the blog too.
That's so cool.
Yes.
I love it so much. Since Chowder, C.H. Greenblatt has gone on to develop the Max Original Jellystone, which is still airing as of this recording.
Oh, cool.
Which I know a lot of people like, and I'm going to have to give it a watch after reading about it. One of the most distinctive aspects of Chowder is its unique animation style. The show combined traditional hand-drawn animation with collage-style backgrounds, giving it a dynamic look. The characters were fully animated, but only parts of them were colored in. The parts that were left blank had a static background placed underneath and would stay static as the characters moved around.
I remember seeing this on TV when I was a kid, not like this show, but like this type of animation.
Yeah.
And just being fascinated by it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you pay attention, just watch anyone's, mostly with clothes, but it happens with other stuff too. As they walk around. Yeah. Their clothes are like moving, but it's not. It's the static,
which you can see
it's
that
staying
like
still.
It's pattern or like it's stripes or something, right? And like the pattern is staying the same.
Exactly, it's a repeating pattern.
Yeah. Do you know what we're talking about?
Not really. No, I can't picture it.
I don't know. Like, imagine you have a wall that's like stripes, right?
Okay.
And you turn off all the lights.
Okay.
And you put a spotlight on the wall. And there's a circle.
Okay.
And you move that spotlight around.
Okay.
That's what it would look
like. Okay. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Because the thing that is animated is moving, which would be the light.
Yeah.
But the background that you're seeing is just a repeating pattern that stays still.
It doesn't change and it doesn't move. Does that help?
It does. Okay. It does. Thank you.
When you see it, it'll click.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
The show would also employ different animation and filming styles, such as puppets, stop motion, and live action, like I just mentioned.
Yeah.
Even the opening theme mixes multiple styles.
That is super, super cool. I love that.
The opening of it shows a cookbook kind of open up like you do in fantasy.
Yeah.
Like the book is a stop motion prop that opens, and then they zoom in and it becomes animated. So
I love that
from the beginning, they mix the styles.
So cool. Yeah. So cool.
All right. And because there isn't a bazillion things to talk about, you know. It's to be expected with hidden gem shows.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have a lot of production notes.
Right.
So we're going to move on to the voice actors. This is a pretty great little cast they've got here. There are many voice actors who contributed to the many characters in Chowder. It would take a whole episode to mention them all. So here's the main cast and a few recurring characters. Nicky Jones voices the titular Chowder. He began his career in early 2006 at age 9.
Wow.
With the direct-to-video Disney sequel Bambi 2.
Aww.
Bambi
2, Dreams Come True?
I don't know if it had a subtitle. He has also starred in various commercials and movies, playing minor roles, as well as voiced Gumball in The Amazing World of Gumball pilot.
Nice.
So they didn't keep him around for it, but he's in the pilot episode, if you listen hard enough. However, he is most well-known for Chowder, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dwight Schultz provided the voice for head chef Mung Dal. He is an actor best known for his roles like Howling Mad Murdoch in the 1980s show The A-Team, as well as Lieutenant Reginald Barclay in Star Trek The Next Generation. He has also become a sought-after voice for many shows, games, and movies, getting his start in the 90s with shows like The New Adventures of Superman and Cat Dog.
Okay.
Yes, the Nickelodeon show.
One fine day with a wolf and a burr, maybe was born in a cuzzle, sir.
That's another hidden gem for you.
Yeah, there you go.
Schultz and Greenblatt would foster a great relationship while working on Chowder and are still working together on Jellystone.
That's great.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Tara Strong voiced Truffles, Mung Dal's short-tempered and no-nonsense wife.
Oh, boy.
Strong is one of those voice actors that is in a ridiculous number of things, but mostly known for her voice work in animation. Some of her roles include the new Batman Adventures, Teen Titans, Rugrats, The Powerpuff Girls, The Fairly Odd Parents, The Proud Family, Ben 10, Chowder, My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, and many more.
Yeah.
And whenever I see videos of her just putting on a voice. It's amazing.
Yeah.
She does bubbles.
She's really good at voicing. I don't know, like the classic little boy voice.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, guys, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
John DiMaggio provided the voice for Schnitzel, the rock monster kitchen assistant.
Oh, John DiMaggio.
Yeah, you love him.
Where have you gone, John DiMaggio?
Wow. Do you think he likes that joke or not? How many times has he heard that one? Similarly to Tara Strong, DiMaggio is known for many voice acting roles. Of course, Bender on Futurama being his most well-known. He is also in Kim Possible, Adventure Time, Samurai Jack, and many more. And here's something that I didn't know that I wanted to include. He is a former comedian appearing on stage as part of a comedic duo named Red Johnny and the Round Guy.
Huh.
Liliana Mumai voiced Panini, a young girl with a crush on Chowder, who is also an apprentice at a rival catering company. As a child, Mumai has appeared in several films. Her most notable appearances are in Cheaper by the Dozen 1 and 2 and The Santa Claus 2 and 3.
Okay.
Wow.
Along with Panini, she provided her voice in Stitch the movie, Lilo and Stitch the series, Lilo and Stitch 2, Stitch Has a Glitch, and Leroy and Stitch.
Wow.
Which,
okay,
I had no idea there were that many Lilo and Stitch things.
I knew there were a couple of
them. I knew there was a
but I don't know if I ever heard Leroy.
That's more Stitch. That's more than usual.
Yeah.
Right? Next we have Mindy Sterling voicing Miss Endive, the head chef at that rival catering company.
Mm.
Mindy Sterling is an American actress known for her versatile performances in film, TV, and theater. One of Sterling's most iconic roles came in Austin Powers, where she portrayed Frau Farbacina, the henchwoman of Dr. Evil. Her portrayal of the character earned her widespread recognition and became a fan favorite. Throughout her career, Sterling has lent her voice to shows like Robot Chicken, Family Guy, and The Legend of Korra as freaking Lin Beifong.
Lin Beifong!
Further showcasing her talent and range as a performer.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
She's super great, and dang, if there's any reason to watch Korra, it's the Beifongs.
Yeah.
And lastly, we have Dana Snyder as the voice of Gazpacho, the easygoing fruit stand owner in Marzipan City. He is a voice many are familiar with, being a voice that is hired because it's the sound they want rather than creating a new voice from scratch. You know, those kind of people where it's like they want his voice specifically.
Yeah, nice.
If you watch Adult Swim, then it's likely you know his voice. He is Master Shake in Aqua Teen Hunger Force, Granny Kuehler on Squidbillies, the Alchemist and the President on The Venture Bros, as well as other Adult Swim shows. Outside of Adult Swim, he is known for roles in Chowder, The Marvelous Misadventures of Flapjack, The Penguins of Madagascar, and Adventure Time.
Okay.
So he gets around. And one other character that's around that doesn't talk or anything, Chowder has a pet. It's like it's a cloud of smell.
That's so cute.
Okay, it's like a cloud, and it just speaks by going. You know, and it's called Kimchi.
He calls him Kimchi. Oh, yes.
All right, so a little bit about the music and the theme song for this lovely show. I will post a link to said theme song because it's just super catchy and awesome.
Nice.
The theme and music for Chowder was composed by Dan Boer, who also goes by the name Zebra Tracks.
Cool.
Which is cool. If you've seen him online, that's the guy. Boer is known for his work on various animated TV series like The Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy and The Marvelous Misadventures of Flapjack. So it's kind of like a little group of people here kind of working
all
together.
All working on the same stuff, making it the same shows. Cool.
The opening theme is performed by the main cast, where all four of them get a line, including Schnitzel. His line is, "Rada, rada, 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 rada." But according to C.H. Greenblatt, the translation is, "You share a big piece with everyone."
Aww.
So, yeah, I mean, I totally got it from that.
Yeah, sure.
Exactly. Because it's one of the funniest things. You know how in Guardians of the Galaxy, Groot only ever says, "I am Groot."
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Schnitzel only ever says Rada. Don't know why, but everyone can understand him except the audience.
Okay.
And it's just one of those things. But he has a real, there's a real line in that theme song, so don't you worry. And it fits too.
That's really great. Nice.
You look up the lyrics, it's there.
Yeah.
You can get so much character even though he's just saying one word because his personality comes through. Yeah. He is just so done. He's clearly the smartest person in the kitchen. He knows what to do. He's just always there to fix things.
Yeah.
But Mungdal and Chowder just screw it up all the time.
Oh my gosh.
And it's great to watch him just try his best. Chowder was well received for its unique animation style, surreal humor, and imaginative storytelling. The show's offbeat humor and off-the-wall characters appealed to both children and adults, earning it a dedicated fan base. However, despite its popularity, Chowder was canceled in 2010 as Cartoon Network felt the show did not fit its new demographic of older boys, favoring shows such as the live-action Destroy, Build, Destroy instead. Even still, its fans remember it fondly for its creativity and originality, and it continues to be celebrated as a cult classic in the world of cartoons.
Oh, nice. Yay. Well, thanks for sharing Chowder with us, Adam.
Yeah, yes. Thank you.
Now I'm hungry.
I know that it felt like an info dump, but I promise you it's worth watching.
Yeah.
I know it's streaming somewhere, wherever it may be, but you might be able to find like all three seasons on DVD or something.
It's on Max.
Yeah, so there you go. That's Chowder. It's really good. Please watch it.
It is really good.
I don't know what else to say.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. Adorable. All right, who's next?
That would be me.
All right.
When we think of kids' cartoons, we usually think about Disney, Nickelodeon, and Cartoon Network. My childhood, as I've probably talked about before, rarely had these, except for maybe on Saturday mornings for the ABC Kids time block. My time was spent on PBS Kids, and one that may be forgotten or not known by a lot of people was the show Sagwa, the Chinese Siamese Cat.
And for many generations, it has been our family's honor to write down the official scrolls of all the magistrates of this province.
Boy, Sagwa, you sound just like our father when you say that.
Oh, man. Yes. I guess, yeah, one of the things that maybe helps Chowder is it's relatively recent.
Yeah.
But Sagwa, oh boy, it's been a minute.
It's a little while. Older. It's been like since 2001.
Yeah, it's a little bit of an older show, but it was super cool too. I remember because sometimes in episodes they would like teach you some things too about China, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sagwa takes place in the late Qing Dynasty. Sagwa and her family are calligraphers for the magistrate. Now, they're also cats, of course.
It's super cute.
You do have to take that.
I giggled because they're kitty cats.
Yes.
And they're calligraphers.
Yes.
It's very cute.
And they use their little tails to do it. It's so cute. While they learn to write laws, Sagwa and her brother Dongwa and sister Shigwa have adventures and learn lessons. Just like most PBS kids show.
Yeah, there's no lessons on Cartoon Network. Yeah.
Sagwa began as a book by Amy Tan and illustrated by Gretchen Shields. The story in the book focuses on a mother cat, Ming Miao, as she tells her kittens, I know, isn't that adorable? Ming Miao. As she tells her kittens about their great ancestor, Sagwa. Sagwa changes not only a magistrate's law, but also her family's distinctive markings forever. The first episode of the show takes a lot from the book, but instead it is Sagwa's mother who is telling Sagwa's story to her little sister, Shigwa.
Aww.
Yeah. So telling the story about how she got into the ink and changed the magistrate's law. And so then now she's got the ink markings on her face and feet and stuff. And it's adorable.
It's so cute. Yeah, the cat has like the ink markings. And when I was a kid, I thought that was a real thing. Like you could spill ink on a cat and it would be there forever.
Yeah, right.
They would never wash out. Their hair would never, eventually fall out. And,
yeah.
You know,
oh
like.
Oh my gosh. I really enjoyed this one also because I grew up with like kittens a lot. Mm. There we had outdoor cats that ended up, you know, we should have gotten them fixed, but living in a bigger family, we didn't have a lot of money to just take cats to go get fixed.
Yeah.
So we would end up with kittens around the house a lot. And there was one litter where it was actually these kind of markings. It was this kind of a cat. And it was so wild because they're born and they don't have any it didn't have any markings. We just thought it was like a white kitten.
Yeah.
And then as it got older, it got those distinctive like marks on like on the face and stuff. So I'm like, it kind of makes sense then that, you know, because in Sagwa, her little sister Shigwa doesn't have any markings yet. So I'm like, oh, that's really cute. So like, even though they explain it as the ink, you know, for Sagwa and stuff, I'm like, hey, that's really cute.
She's not old enough.
Yeah. Amy Tan is a first generation Chinese American. She was the creative consultant for the show. And I believe that keeping the original creator on the project helped to elevate its final look and feel.
Yeah.
She talked about how it was interesting because her as a writer, she thinks of the story and everything, but it was really neat seeing the animators and like that whole section think about what's going to be on the walls, what's going to be like all the surrounding things, because she was like, I didn't have to think about all of that necessarily.
Yeah.
I just was thinking about the main story. Oh. So she said it was really, really interesting and cool to see how a world is built up around in animation like that.
Everything is built.
Yeah.
Everything is intentional.
Yep. They have to think about the table placements, the wall hangings and the, you know, bookcases and all kinds of things. So Sagwa was a collaboration between Cinegroup, a Canadian company, and Sesame Workshop.
Oh.
The show began airing on September 3rd, 2001. Sagwa sadly only had one season as well, with a total of 40 episodes.
40 episodes is a big season.
It is a big. Only 8 less than Chowder, I think.
And that's, that's only once. Wow.
One season.
What
the
heck?
So it feels long. So, I mean, I think as a kid, I never really realized that it was only one season. I thought, you know, and they, of course, replayed the episode.
They sure did.
Over and over again, even after it was done.
Yeah.
Episodes aired worldwide, including the UK, Latin America, Hong Kong, China, Taiwan, Singapore, and of course, the United States. Each half-hour episode consisted of 2 11-minute animated segments. The series combined animation, music, folk stories, and fairy tales. It combined these elements with segments that had real children talking about their experiences. As an example, in one episode, children told the camera about their experience with martial arts, like karate, while an animation was drawn in the corner illustrating it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That
like these almost like stick figure, like not quite, a little more elaborate than that, but you know, just very cute.
That really gives it the PBS vibe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? Yes. Having
those little elements of live action and a little, you know, like, and let's learn too.
Yes.
Don't forget, kids, we're here to learn.
Yeah.
I love that about PBS. I loved learning stuff.
I remember they kind of brought that back a lot for the Buster show from Arthur.
Postcards from Buster. Yeah.
Because they would also have those little segments where kids would talk about what they are doing in the world or like things, you know. And it just was.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So now we're going to talk a little bit about the voice actors. I am also only going to talk about a select few because there were several, but just going to pinpoint the main kittens and then another character too. Sagwa Meow was voiced by Holly Gauthier Frankel, who plays the adventurous young kitten that starts it all and becomes a cat calligrapher. Holly has been a voice actor in several things, including being Lulu in Whimsy's House, Fern Walters in Arthur, and Flora in the Winx Club.
Oh, cool. Fern.
Yeah, Fern. Dongwa Meow was played by Oliver Granger, and he's Sagwa's older brother. Oliver is also known for voicing DW on Arthur.
Oh my god.
So if you watch this and you listen, you'll hear it immediately.
Dude, that's so cool.
Shigua Meow was played by Jesse Vignier.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. The three kittens' names, when translated, are Sagwa is silly melon head, Dongwa is winter melon, and Shigua is watermelon.
What? Poor Sagwa.
So, now, I have heard that silly melon head, it's like a very endearing, like, you know, it's a cute, it's not like a you're an idiot kind of like name. It's
Sagwa.
It's a oh, you little cute little sweet silly melon head. Fufu is played by Rick Jones, and he's the accident prone but lovable bat.
Oh yeah.
Rick has done many voice acting roles, including being No Feet in Little Bear. And he also did additional voices in Arthur. Yeah, so I thought that was really cool. I was like, oh, that'll no be feet. Little Bear.
Little Bear, Little dude. Bear.
God, there's so many. There are so many funny episodes of Little Bear. So many sassy episodes of Little Bear. Shoot, oh, my God.
I might need to pop that on.
Yes, for sure. In China, bats are seen as good luck. And Fu in Chinese means luck.
Nice. So his name's Luck Luck.
Luck Luck.
Cute.
Adorable. The magistrate is played by Hiro Kanagawa, and he's the one who just loves his family and has a change of heart when Sagwa changes his law. The main story of it, the very beginning, he makes this law because his wife is telling him, like, hey, we need to make more money. How about you make, I'm tired of all these villagers singing. How about you make a law where if they sing, they'll be charged money for singing? And he's like, okay, yes, my lotus blossom, I shall do what you want. And he has very cute names for her, though. It's adorable.
Yeah, sounds like he really loves
her. He does love her. Yeah. Yes. And their three daughters.
Aww.
Yes. And so he has the cats draw up this, you know, law. And Sagwa's like, oh, that's an awful law. And ends up, like, jumping down from the shelf. And gets into the ink pot by accident and rubs out the no sing, like the no in the singing. So then it basically reads like, there shall be singing from dawn to dusk, like must dusk till dawn.
All day.
Like, yeah. You must sing all day. And so they come and are singing his praises, and, you know, they're like, why are they doing that? And then they're told, oh no, like, this is your law. And he was like, oh my gosh, they love me, they're so happy that I did this law. And so then
do they have to pay him if they stop?
That's what I was thinking.
Like, no, where does the money come into this?
Then he's so moved by it that he gets rid of all the other silly laws that he had made, where it's like no laughing. So no,
China just becomes a lawless wasteland.
I mean,
thanks, cats.
Hiro has been in several things, including most recently shows like Upload, Percy Jackson and the Olympians, and Shogun.
Wow.
Yes.
This guy gets around.
Some good ones. And another one that shall not be named because we don't want to talk about it. You could probably guess it came out somewhat recently about a, you know, person that can master the elements. But anyway, what made the theme song unique was that it was sung in both Mandarin and English. Today, you can find most episodes on YouTube. Two of my favorites that I remember seeing as a kid were By the Light of the Moon, where they learn how mooncakes came to be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And The Birds, the Bees, and the Silkworms, where they learn how important everyone and everything is in the world.
That's nice.
That is cool. Yeah.
A shout out to Cheyenne Lynn, whose YouTube video we will link to in the blog, as she talked about her experience as a Chinese-American child that grew up with the show. She had all the plushies and talked about how especially important the episode called She Who's Secret was to her.
Aww, what happens in that episode?
Yeah, so in that episode, their rat friend She Who. So Sagwa gets to see the secret area that the mice hide in and the rats hide in. And she's like, this is so cool. You got, it's got like your own little society in here. It's so neat. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, hey, I want to tell all my other cat friends. And Shehu's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. No, no, no. Don't do that. Don't do that. please don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, you guys are awesome. You're awesome. But not all cats are going to be like you.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, yeah. But then, of course, she ends up having to, she tells her sister.
Right.
And who tells her spreads, brother. Yeah. And it just spreads. And so then the alley cats find out about it. And so they all just kind of end up breaking that society. Like,
dude,
I mean, they break
so
in.
Sad.
Yeah. And so Sagwa and her siblings have to hide the mice and rats while they rebuild their home. And so, you know, luckily they're able to rebuild it and everything and all's good. And so Shehu's like, okay, cool. Now we've got our place. Like, maybe don't wreck it this time. Don't come in. Like, you know, this is, we need our own space. Like, I like to hang out with you, but like me and my friends and family, like, we need our own space. And the reason that she liked that so much was that she was like, it's great when you can get along with other people, but it's also good when you can set boundaries and be like, hey, like, I need my own space to be with, like, my own kind of people. Like, it's nothing against you. Like, I still want to hang out with you.
Yeah.
But I also, it's okay if we're not together all the time, if we have our own space. And she was like, I thought that was just really important, especially to learn as a kid. So Sagwa was received pretty well. Though it lasted only one season, it seems to be looked upon fondly by those who grew up with it. There is varying speculation as to why the show ended, but we are sure glad it was made. Sagwa was the winner of a Daytime Emmy Award in 2002 for an outstanding individual in animation for the background artist Valerie Milkov. It also won 2 silver plaques from the Chicago International Film Festival.
That's awesome.
So it did
that
pretty darn
cool.
Well.
Yeah. Man. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
It was a really cute little show.
Adorable.
I really liked it.
Beautifully made.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So go check it out.
So go to
it.
YouTube and look
YouTube,
it up.
YouTube. Yeah. Because I think that's really, I mean, unless you get it from your library, because I did find our library does have access to some... Some like
some
VHSs. And I think one DVD.
Oh my.
But other than that, yeah, the majority of the episodes are on YouTube.
That's awesome, so, though. Yeah. At least it's pretty, at least it's accessible.
It is, yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's how you know it's a real hidden gem.
Yes, that's true. If you can't,
can't
if you
find
can't
it.
Easily access it besides on like YouTube and stuff.
Yeah. Okay, it's my turn. Oh.
Yay!
All right. Woo! So here's the thing. The show that I picked, I have to admit, I did not really think this was a hidden gem show because I watched this when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought everybody watched this show and I didn't realize that, you know, it's not as big and popular, but I think it's more popular than the shows you guys talked about.
I would say so.
Yeah, I don't know for sure. I just never really considered it to be. But then we were looking these up, and I was Googling, like, you know, lesser-known animated shows. This was always on the list.
Wow.
Every time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah, because, I mean, it had a lot of stiff competition.
Yeah.
You know, being overshadowed pretty easily.
Yeah. So the show that I'm talking about is Chalk Zone.
Woo!
He's got the chalk.
Chalk, 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 chalk.
Rudy's got the chalk.
As the sickest guitarist. Oh my God, man. So good.
A horseshoe, Rudy. Why didn't you draw an anvil? Don't you watch cartoons?
Oh, is that what this is? A cartoon?
No, Rudy, baby, this is Chalk Zone, where everything goes after it has been erased off the chalkboard.
Created by Bill Burnett and Larry Huber, Chalk Zone first aired on March 22, 2002. It followed 10-year-old Rudy Tabooty, an artist that finds his way into a magical realm that holds anything and anyone that has ever been drawn and erased on a chalkboard. While there, he teams up with Snap, his creation and best friend, and together they go on epic adventures. Sometimes they are joined by Rudy's friend, Penny Sanchez, who was in Rudy's 5th grade class.
Mmm.
What? A great premise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a show.
It truly, it is. It's, I mean, it's, you hear that idea and you're like, oh my God, yeah, what a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in this world, he generally encounters drawings he's made.
Right.
But in this world, it's drawings everyone's made.
Yeah.
Every single person in our world who has drawn a chalkboard and erased it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot.
Yeah. So there's this wide range of like level of drawing. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got very, you know, very simple drawings from younger kids and much more complex drawings. But generally, you know, it's a lot of just amateur, quote unquote, amateur looking designs.
Quick sketch type stuff.
Yeah. Show creators Larry Huber and Bill Burnett were both working for Hanna-Barbera under the leadership of Fred Siebert when they developed the idea for Chalk Zone. At the time, Larry was the head of production for the Cartoon Network shows, while Bill Burnett was the head writer for a show called Cow and Chicken. Siebert had an idea for a show consisting of cartoon shorts that would later be called, Oh Yeah, Cartoons! The idea was that the animators would create 7-minute cartoon episodes, and they would use them to see what shorts audiences responded to the most. He paired up Huber and Burnett and asked them to come up with a concept for a show. According to Burnett, Huber suggested a premise similar to the classic children's book Harold and the Purple Crayon.
Yes, yes indeed.
Yeah. Yes. Where Harold, if you guys are unfamiliar, he has a purple crayon.
Yeah.
And he kind of, it's just like him in this blank world. And he's walking around and he's just drawing. He draws, once pie, he draws a pie, you know? Once a friend, he draws a friend. You know what I'm saying?
You know,
that's Harold's
simple,
life.
Yeah.
The idea intrigued the animators because Harold was able to get out of any situation using the crayon. In order to age up the show and make it more appealing to older kids, Burnett suggested the idea of an alternate world, like Alice in Wonderland, where these adventures could take place. Huber and Burnett developed a main character, a young boy that was essentially chosen by the magic chalk to be the child that could enter Chalk Zone. In the first episode of the show, Rudy, our protagonist, has been punished for his cartoon drawings and must stay behind to write the phrase, "Cartoons are not funny," on the board. When he reaches for a new piece of chalk, a magical piece rises up from the others, beckoning him to use it. As Rudy draws the first letter O in cartoon, he opens a portal into another world.
Ooh. What the heck, man? Cartoons are definitely funny.
Yeah. I know. What a funny, like, tongue-in-cheek thing to put in your cartoon, right? Because mm-hmm. Rudy is in a very classic version of our world.
Yeah.
He's being punished. He drew a cartoon. He drew a cartoon of a kid that was bullying him.
Mm.
And then he got in trouble for making fun of that kid by drawing this cartoon.
Right.
And that's why he's been staying back at school.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's very much a Alice in Wonderland down the rabbit hole moment. He draws the circle in the cartoon. He kind of peeks through it and sees Chalk Zone. And he's like, oh! So he draws a bigger circle and it's like, boom.
There you are.
Portal. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
In 1998, shortly after Warner Brothers bought Hanna-Barbera, Fred Siebert founded Frederator Studios. As the head of Frederator, Siebert was able to bring Oh Yeah! Cartoons to Nickelodeon. The show began airing on Sunday mornings and featured shorts that would become some of Nickelodeon's most popular programming, like The Fairly Odd Parents. In July of 1998, Chalk Zone aired as part of the show's premiere episode. It was the first segment of the first episode of Oh Yeah! Cartoons.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. Chalk Zone proved to be popular with boys and girls and prompted them to think about what they would draw in order to escape the dangerous situations in which Rudy finds himself. Chalk Zone was officially greenlit for its own series, with a pilot episode airing in 1999 and the official show premiering nearly 3 years later in 2002. The show originally aired on Fridays at 8:30 p.m., and although it was targeted to children in the 7 to 11 demographic, it also incorporated more advanced themes and humor. The moral of the show was that we must take responsibility for what we put out into the world. When Rudy draws a monster out of anger, he ends up fighting that monster in Chalk Zone.
Dun, dun, dun.
It happens in the very first episode. He drew that rude drawing of of the bully. And he goes into Chalk Zone, and now he's fighting that, that caricature version of the bully in Chalk Zone. Yeah. And that's just kind of how the show works. A lot of the things that he drew, not knowing what he was drawing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
you'd think, like, after the first couple times, he's like, oh, I got it.
One lesson and I'm good.
I need to stop drawing these and then erasing them.
Yeah.
You know kids, though. You know.
Right.
It's like the episode of SpongeBob, Doodle Bob, but forever.
The first season of the show incorporated the 7-minute shorts from Oh Yeah Cartoons. Besides that, the episodes usually ended in a music video where Rudy and his friends would sing with a character from Chalk Zone. Although the show was animated by adults, the visual style was intended to emulate children's drawings, as well as the drawings of untrained adults. And of course, everything in Chalk Zone had an outline that looked like chalk.
Yep.
The cast of Chalk Zone is filled with familiar voices from the 90s and 2000s animation. E.G. Daly voiced the main character Rudy Tabooty. Daly is no stranger to voice acting, having lent her voice to many animated shows over the last 30 years. Daly is a singer and actor who played Tommy Pickles in Rugrats and Buttercup in the Powerpuff Girls. She has also appeared in many live-action films and sang the titular song Better Off Dead in the 1980s John Cusack movie of the same name.
Hey!
Yeah!
She's fantastic.
I'd be better off dead. I remember when I noticed that when I was watching that movie. I was like, it sounds like Tommy Pickles.
Well,
it sure is.
You were right.
She's a great singer.
Yeah.
Hendon Walsh played Penny Sanchez, Rudy's friend from Plainsville, USA. Walsh is a prolific voice actor, well known for playing Princess Bubblegum in Adventure Time and Starfire in Teen Titans.
Oh, man.
Heck yeah.
So good.
The moment she opens her mouth, you're like, oh, there she is.
Oh, man. Yeah. I got to go back and watch Chalk Zone.
Yes. Chalk Zone. Candy Milo played Snap, Rudy's drawing and best friend. Bill Burnett later said that he directed Candy Milo to give Snap the attitude of a wisecracking man from a 1930s movie. He is. He's a superhero that Rudy has drawn, and he's very like, you know, what are you looking at? You know, kind of.
Yes, I love Snap. I can hear the voice in my head.
Yeah,
though, that's for sure, because I know I've heard his voice before.
Milo has had many roles throughout her career, including Mrs. Wakeman in My Life as a Teenage Robot, as well as several other voices in Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends.
Ah, damn, man.
Another good one.
Naming some great shows right now.
I know.
Dude.
Welcome to My Life as a Teenage Robot. Story of my life
as a teenage robot.
Teenage Robot.
Life. talk about hidden gems. Yes. Holy shit.
I almost did that one. But there was nothing on
it. Oh, no.
There was nothing. And nothing. I had to pick one that had stuff.
Yeah.
There was nothing.
You can't just be like, this one's a great show.
This is a great show, yeah. Wow. Really, there wasn't much on, yeah, My Life as a Teenage Robot. Yeah. But that's one that I did consider.
Damn. Yeah. I just, memories of that show coming
yeah.
back right now.
Yeah. I'd never heard of Candy Milo before I did this. Mm-hmm. But I am kind of obsessed with because I've noticed all the things that she's listed in, and I'm like, God, she's really good. Mm-hmm. She's like, I mean, I think about Mrs. Wakeman. Mrs. Wakeman sounds nothing like Snap.
No.
Yeah.
Like, they don't sound anything, you know what I mean? And like, she's also, she's the elderly woman in Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends.
Yeah, Madame Foster.
Yeah, she's Madame Foster, and she plays Coco,
the
bird character.
Wow.
Yeah. Jess Harnell played Joe Tabooty, Rudy's father. Harnell is known for playing Wacko from the Animaniacs and Crash Bandicoot from the Bandicoot video game series.
Whoa!
You guys can't see it, but Adam's eye is just like, what? What? Are you, what?
Crash.
Are you kidding?
Miriam Flynn played Mildred Tabooty, which is Rudy's mother. She has appeared in many films and shows over the years and gave her voice to Ma and Babe.
Oh, nice.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, and that was the main cast. The supporting cast had a lot of other big names like Jim Cummings in it.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, he played a recurring villain. Yeah. D. Bradley Baker was a recurring character, too.
Oh, nice.
There we go. Yep.
Yeah. The theme song for Chalk Zone was written by show co-creator Bill Burnett. It was produced by Burnett and Guy Moon, with both men performing on the track. Burnett would also compose the other songs featured in the show. These would go along with the animated music videos at the end of most episodes.
Ah.
The Chalk Zone theme song is also called Rudy's Got the Chalk. It consists of a fantastic guitar riff with an incredibly catchy melody. some fans consider to be one of Nickelodeon's best theme songs of all time.
Wow.
I would agree. I think it's definitely up there.
Yeah.
I remember we did an episode on Cartoon Network theme songs.
Yep. Yeah. We ranked them.
We ranked them.
Yeah.
Go check that out. Yes. But Nickelodeon had some fire songs too, man.
This song is so, it's not a lot of lyrics, you know.
No, you don't need them when you rock it out.
The original version used a synthesizer instead of a guitar, but that song never made it to TV. The opening sequence that aired with the 1999 pilot episode was slightly different from the one that aired with the official premiere of the show. This version was thought to be completely lost until Paramount Plus added the show to its streaming service, including the 1999 pilot with the original opening.
What?
Wow, that's awesome.
Heck it is
actually super cool. People really thought, they were like, this is lost to time.
Gone. Wow.
And it was really only slightly different. The theme song is a little quieter.
Okay.
It's not as a beat, and some of the animation is different.
There you go.
Wow. And it legitimately, like, it was like lost media, like came
out.
Wow. Wow. Love it. Rare Love streaming it. Win.
Seriously, yeah.
Chalk Zone lasted for 4 seasons on Nickelodeon before it was canceled in 2005. According to Frederator's website, it was nominated for 2 Annie Awards, the Humanitas Prize, and an Imogen Foundation Award, which recognizes positive portrayals of Latin Americans in the entertainment industry. There was an online reunion of the showrunners and voice actors on the 20th anniversary of Chalk Zone in 2022, and I'll link to it in the blog.
Nice.
Very, very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's Chalk Zone.
Yeah, Chalk Zone.
Yep.
These are all fantastic shows
that
everyone should go watch. That's why we call them hidden gems.
Yeah.
They are just as beautiful and sparkly as the ones that are not hidden.
Yeah.
That's the idea.
I think that Chalk Zone is one people might remember, but they haven't revisited it in so long that they don't remember much about it. And maybe, too, they might think, oh, I'm not really interested in that anymore because I watched it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But give it a couple watches. You know, it is wacky and a little odd, but it's definitely entertaining.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And with a premise like that, you can't go wrong, man. Mm-mm.
There was truly so much lore that they could have, like.
Yeah.
Because there's even an episode where it's a whiteboard.
Oh,
and they do it on a whiteboard instead of a chalkboard. And the whole world is different. It's a whole different place.
Oh, wow.
And the idea, and so like there was this also concept that like when you draw things on paper and erase it, that's a whole world. And you draw, you know, that,
I mean,
that
makes
kind
sense
of stuff.
If you're using the logic of Chalk Zone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah, that could be some deep multiverse stuff.
Yeah. So that's kind of a cool, a cool idea. And it's like Rudy was chosen for chalk. Like, was somebody else chosen for this other stuff?
Yeah.
Is there a magic pencil? Yeah. Besides the one in SpongeBob?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you guys have any remaining thoughts on these 3 gem shows?
I mean, just that there's so many more.
Yeah.
These are just 3 of them.
Absolutely.
I mean, we brought up in this episode other ones just based off of the voice actors from these ones. I mean, Little Bear and like, you know, just so many.
And My Life as a Teenage Robot.
Yes, exactly.
Yep. We could go on. We could go on and on. We could just limit it to just Nickelodeon and we'd have a whole list.
Mm-hmm.
We could go to just Cartoon Network. We'd have a whole list.
Yep.
So there are endless gems out there.
Yeah.
But please check out these 3 if you get the chance. Sagwa would be the easy one because it's on YouTube.
On YouTube.
But everyone if you happen to have HBO
or
Paramount Plus, I think Chowder is on Hulu for now.
Okay.
When I watched it last, it was. But I didn't hear about it being removed.
Mm-hmm.
But now with Hulu being absorbed by Disney, it may move.
Who knows? Yeah.
But anyways, definitely go find them where you can. There are so many incredible pieces of media out there that don't get the attention or love that they deserve. Sometimes they just didn't have the right marketing, or maybe they were ahead of their time. Whatever the reason, we all know of a show or a movie that we wish got more exposure, and these were just 3 examples. If you know of an underrated animated TV shows, send them our way. We'd love to check them out. Until then, give these hidden gems a chance. You might be surprised how much they shine.
Oh, yes.
Oh, beautiful, sparkly TV shows. Oh, man. Oh. So good. Fantastic. And yeah. Again, more besides that, you could even just Google underrated right. shows and just yeah. give them a look just to find some cool stuff. So thank you, everyone. That is going to be another case closed.
Pretty good.
Fantastic. Nice.
All right.
Thank you so much for listening. Before we go, we'd like to thank our patrons, John, JD, Anthony, Shelley, Bob, and Jacob.
Yeah.
Yes. Got them.
Nice.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening. And we hope you enjoyed the extended version that you can find on Patreon. Thank you to all who are listening. If you have interest in anything else we talked about, you can find it all on the blog. Links to videos and research is all there at blackcasediaries.com. So thank you so much. We will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Rudy's got the job.